This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk. You know, let me talk first. Karan Jaswant from Digital News Asia arrived at the nick of time, as usual. You know, he has been here for a while. And, you know, some people say, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I have to say, out of sight, out of mind.
It's been 2 weeks, man. 14
Three.
Blissful days.
Three.
Three. I did the
third been counting. What have you? Okay, what? Let me see. What is this? Let's get right into it. The tech ecosystem. This alpha startups, pre-accelerator stuff, right? So, and yet more support for entrepreneurs. So, mollycoddling, are we?
Well,
enough.
That's what I know. That's what I thought.
That's what I do to my son.
Is it? Yeah. Good for you, man.
Anyway.
So, that's what I also kind of thought when I heard about this, and I then spoke to Bikesh Lakshmi Chan, who's the CEO of 1337 Ventures, the accelerator based in Cyberjaya, and which is now, you know, located in the premises of the Magic Building. So he was saying that that's the logic behind this also, because you're seeing so many people now applying or becoming, wanting to become entrepreneurs, and then you, of course, then sometimes pitch your idea or you know, the germ of an idea that you have to these various panels, because we're just incredibly supportive of the tech ecosystem, right? You've got so many grants and you can go to.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for BK, he sits on many of these panels. So he's got a front row seat, you know, to listen to a lot of this stuff. As you say, he gets frustrated, exasperated, how so many of these first-time entrepreneurs fall flat on their faces when they make their pitches. Because you're not from the industry, you don't have that network, you know, that gives you some basic guidance even. Many of them, not many, I say some of them even apply for the wrong grants, and that's a total waste of time. And then many of them just make such poor pitches that they may have a decent germ of an idea, but they don't express it, they haven't fleshed it out well. So then you get rejected right away. And maybe the Malaysian mentality still is that, if especially for these young kids, you get rejected and maybe you're saying, okay, I tried my best, you know, I'm just move on and, you know, and be an engineer or whatever, right? So that was a concern of his. And he said that we wanted to do something to help these guys out. And apparently it's not uncommon. They're such pre-accelerators, you know, in other countries too. So, and even in developed countries. So that's the idea behind alpha startups.
Okay, so and the idea is what, they're looking for funding again? Is that usually the case? And, you know, I just had a conversation with somebody this morning, and it'll be aired next week, but this is the rain harvesting thing. And he came up with all these things, and I told him that, you know, it's such great technology that you've got. Have you, and I mentioned all the usual suspects, the Cradle Fund, everything. Says he hasn't heard of any of these things.
Any of them, yeah.
And he wants to bootstrap it. He's got a patent on it. So, I mean, he's all ready to even, say, if he were to approach my IPO or MavCap, he's already got something there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can we start thinking that way first before, you know, give me money think?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Think.
So that's good. But I'm surprised that along his journey, he hasn't heard of some of these funds, because everyone has.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But it's just like, you know, can we start? Wow. Then you start being innovative.
Yeah. He's not from Xinjiang, right? Is he? Interesting. You know, they're kind of isolated there. Not in thinking, but just in terms of what's going on in the ecosystem. But anyway, this is interesting that at least he's got his product ready, you know, and he's about ready to make the next leap. Now, for many of these guys, that's how they want to kind of just, you know, dip their toes into the water, because obviously the journey is not easy. And day in, day out, listeners of BFM hear that how the journey is difficult, and it's supposed to be. But here, Bikesh is saying...
Grantpreneurs.
Yeah. So Bikesh is saying that they're looking for this program. So you go through this. It's also a way to filter out these guys who think they want to be an entrepreneur. So you're a wantpreneur, or those who just go from the grants excite them, and so they're grantpreneurs. He said, we're looking for serious entrepreneurs, and this pre-accelerator helps filter you.
Yeah.
And another filter is even better. Before you apply even, you actually have to do a one-minute video of themselves and the problem they're trying to solve. And he said this also acts as a filter, because you can actually gauge whether somebody is really passionate, you know, to some extent.
Or has put some thought into it.
Yeah, exactly. In how they express themselves as they're talking, you know, making the pitch to be part of the pioneer batch. And I think they're looking at 35 participants. And this is from May 19th to 23rd of this month. You can still go to the article on DNA. You can go to, I think, 1337 Ventures, you know, their website. and see what it's about and get your video ready. I don't know whether the deadline for making the video is done, but I think if you've got a crazy kick-ass video, you can probably just submit it anyway.
Yeah, it's good. And then he'll be in the front seat again.
Yeah, he's going to be on the front set center seat. So, but this boot camp itself, why it's worthwhile for people, it's going to be a 5-day intensive boot camp, Frida, where these participants who are selected, you call them the teams of entrepreneurs, developers and designers. So why the three he mentions? Because Dave McClure from 500 Startups says that all good startups must have one guy who's the hustler, which is the main entrepreneur, the ideas guy. You need a coder, a hacker, you call it, and then you need a designer also. Mm. So that's why here they're saying they want to select teams where you've got entrepreneurs, developers, and designers. And during this 5-day bootcamp, then they get to test and validate whether their product has got it's scalable or whether it's an idea that's really has legs, it's got meat. And this they'll validate with their peers, and they're guided by experienced industry mentors. So that's a really very good group of mentors. Yeah, it's free. Okay. Because it's public funding. So I asked Bikesh how much. He said it didn't cost much because it's being supported by... So he's doing this in partnership with MDEC. Mm. So MDEC obviously now is getting into the startup space in a lot bigger way, because while they've got one group of the whole company focusing on companies which are already at a certain level and trying to take them to the global level, they now got another segment that's looking at these people at the startup stage too, and just trying to get better quality, people and ideas into the ecosystem.
Right.
So it's all good. So much money being invested here. So that's really good.
And you know how he was referring to entrepreneurs whose entire business models seem to revolve
around getting
government grants. And you don't have to think, because you think it's so easy,
So easy, yeah. I don't know whether we are the first country to coin the word grantpreneur, which was like 5-6 years ago.
Trademark that.
Yeah, man. Get yourself into that book of records, as what Nadis Warren will say. Yeah, that book.
Okay, one company that's flying high is SoftSpace. Yeah, awesome. We've spoken to them. They're getting a 18.4 million ringgit grant from MIDA. So, background?
Let's just say that again. 18.4 million
ringgit grant from MIDA.
And just 2 years ago, they were just a startup, scrounging and, and looking for product validation. Like what Bikesh says, you're just trying to get these guys into the validated minimum viable product. So, 2 years ago, SoftSpace was in that very same, in those very same shoes. And look at where they are now. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Incredible story. Their director of corporate planning and strategy, Chris Leong, met up with Asuhan. And he shared with us, I think it's a DNA exclusive actually, that they've received a grant, from MIDA, which is incredible, because MIDA normally helps, big companies. But here, they're helping this relatively still small company. You know, the grant comes under this 1 billion ringgit domestic investment strategic fund. And he says it's allowed them to move to the next level, to become a payment innovator. Okay. So he said the money is going to be used to do R&D, right, into new products. And he says they want to look at different methods of payments, and one would involve digital wallets, as well as embedding analytics in risk management for the credit card business. Why? Because their mobile point of sales, is being used by banks already. Mm. So just to recap, they went out, they couldn't get customers in Malaysia. They got two banks in Thailand to use them.
Yes.
Got them to the attention of Malaysian banks, and credit to Nazir Raza and CIMB. They saw the value in them, partnered with them. And now their mobile point of sale solutions is powering one of CIMB's products. And now CIMB's Bank Niaga, is it? I could get the name. In Indonesia is using it. And they're about to get traction in other countries too. They're flying high. And now they've got MIDA coming in to support them. And of course, this is, I think, one important thing Chris said was this is not an outright grant, right?
Yeah.
It's contingent on the investment. Yeah, I know. No, it's contingent on the investments of the applicant. Mm. So here, SoftSpace has to put in the money for dollar investment that they put in will be matched by MIDA.
Okay, fair enough.
So you just can really fly high. And I think they want to... And of course, this fund was established to accelerate our Malaysian-owned companies into high value-add, high knowledge, knowledge-based industries.
Okay.
So it's really awesome that this is what's going on. So it's really exciting stuff that's going on with SoftSpace.
Yeah, so it's being matched one-on-one.
Yeah.
But there you go. MIDA has a grant.
Yeah, man. Billion ringgit
1 billion
grant.
Ringgit grant for the domestic
And they're doing a good job. I mean, Chris was just overflowing with gratitude, with support for MIDA, because they didn't expect it. And the MIDA account manager, he said, should have named him. Maybe he did to Asuhan, but really went out of his way to understand their business first and that's try to the help way them. Forward. Yeah, it's exactly. So as a taxpayer, you listen to this and say, man, that's smart use of my money. You know, they identified a good company that's got the potential to be great, understood his business and saw where there was a fund that could help them out. And it's a matching grant. SoftSpace, you put in $1 into R&D, shows that, you know, what the proof is in the eating or the chapati, pudding, something like that. Pudding, there you go. And we'll match you at ₹1 so you can, you know, there's four times the impact for what you're going to do. So domestic, exciting stuff. SoftSpace, watch those guys.
Domestic Investment Strategic Fund. Yeah. Of course, yeah, investor is also Tan Sri Vincent.
Vincent Lee. Yeah, he was the angel investor, yes, ₱2 million, back in 2012.
So good for him,
Vincent's
too.
One happy camper, yeah, very excited. Hopefully that encourages him to invest in other startups too and, you know, get the same kind of kick effect.
So we'll talk about other stories after this.
Hey, we normally talk about three items before the break. Why
Karam
so
far? Just Singh from Digital News Asia Tech Talk right
Time's
after this.
Flying.
BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon, Frida Liu with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. We'll continue with stories of the local tech ecosystem. We're talking about alpha startups and grantpreneurs and wantpreneurs a little early on. And then we continue to say that Maida has one too. And this is, of course, with the SoftSpace story.
Yeah, which is a story of an awesome group of entrepreneurs. Yeah.
Why did you apply for the Domestic Investment Strategic Fund? Because there's no R&D in what you do.
God, excuse me, we're applying for 1B lah. They got scared. They say, sorry, belum lagi.
That's all we have.
I want it all.
I should play the Queen song. Now, who did the pivot and why did it take them so long? Talking about Zafrul Nordin and Kodami, which we interviewed
this
week.
I'm on the wrong page. You interviewed this week, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, is that... already played or it's coming on? When is that?
Different story. Yeah.
Oh, he's doing on his lean startup model. That
yes, yes, yes. Okay. So we talk about that.
Okay, so that's great. I'm glad you guys profiled him for that. But that was the trigger for me to have a chat with him too, because he wanted us to write about it. And actually, the story goes live at it went live yesterday, so it's already up. But Zafrul is interesting because we wrote about him in July of 2012, and that was just as DNA was 2 months old actually. And coincidentally, next week, we're 2 years old.
Already, yeah.
So we wrote about July 13th. Yeah, still here. Yeah, man. See my fingernails? Yeah, just gripping, man. Gripping, hanging on. Frida, you're just mean, man. You're just not supportive of entrepreneurs and contentpreneurs. Caught you there, right on the record. I'm going to make sure Jeff doesn't edit that out of the clip, okay? Okay, so what's going on? What was I talking? Zafrul. Yes. So you see, you sidetracked me, man. Got me off track. So Zafrul, okay, talking about got off track. So Zafrul himself, they got off track also. Mm. Oh, that was a nice segue. Very good, man. Saved the day. So basically, you know, when I wrote about him in that first story, I said, hey, this is a different kind of entrepreneur, because he was running his brick and mortar business. It was a digital agency for like 11 years. And now he comes into the startup space. He wanted to build a platform to gamify the talent hunt for people. So he said, on my platform, I'm going to have all these people are looking for jobs and all these companies which are looking for good talent. So my platform called Code Army will be, you know, the place where people from around the world come, because that's a global problem, right? Everyone wants to look for good talent. So the idea was so exciting that MDEC and Pomandu got on board too, and there was even an EPP, you know, writing on that, the gamification of talent or something. The name is in the article. So then, you know, you kind of get excited with all this. Suddenly, oh, Pomandu is interested, and MDEC say we want to ride on you and do this national initiative. And what happened then? He raised money, ₹1 million from an angel investor, and he put in 800,000 of his own money. So I know no other entrepreneur since we started running DNA who's put in that much, at least publicly shared with us that they've put in that much of their own money, because he's been running a business before, right? So you got that money, and then you start trying to build this global product. And what happened, can you imagine? He said that what happened was that they didn't validate their idea and the product until it hit the market, until, he said, 9 months later. And I said, why was this? Because he said in his business before, when you build a product for a customer, they only test it, like a user acceptance test is only at the end when a product is done, correct? They give you some basic outline specs, you build it, and then they do the fine-tuning. Right. And he said that's just the wrong way to do it when you're in the online space. He said the validation has to happen a lot sooner. So that was a huge mistake in hindsight that they made. And there were a whole bunch of other mistakes too that, of course, he doesn't want to talk about, but, you know, it's understandable. Mm. But out of this mistake, then, how he rectified is that when they hit the market with the product in March of last year, all of a sudden, they weren't getting traction. And that's when they realized, holy crap,
Crow.
You know, we've done this the wrong way, you know. We've invested all that time and effort and money and sweat and tears, and it's not working. So then they went to the they went to Europe to, you know, to do some, then after its launch, to do some validation, find out what's wrong. Then they went to Europe again in October of last year to say that they realized they needed to do something different. And they came across, and when they're in Europe, he and his co-founder, I should get the name of his co-founder actually, because we always talk about Zafrul Onia. Is there somewhere in the article? But he said that they were, let me see, okay, never mind. So he and his co-founder, they went to Europe. When they go there for a two-month period, then they try to do as many things as possible because it's expensive to be there. Meet people and, you know, promote their product and try to develop. And his CTO is based in the UK too. Mm. So to cut a long story short, one of the events they attended was this Lean Startup Model workshop. And that opened their eyes, because what this Lean Startup Model does is they help you validate your product. In a way, it's almost like what Bikesh is doing with the pre-alpha startups, right? That's just validation at the early stage, idea level. So this is coming in, LSM comes in at when you've, actually it sounds like almost the same. It comes in also at the same level actually. And they try to help you make sure that your product has got some legs to it or the idea is actually worth its salt. And Zafrul found that really useful, and he says, hey, then he says, you know, Karam, I don't want other Malaysians to go through the same mess that I went through. And the only reason why he's still standing today is he's got this incredible mental and emotional tenacity to stay the course. And of course, he's raised that 1.8 million, so that gives him a runway, right? And he now immediately, while he's not successful, he said, I need to bring this here so that other entrepreneurs don't make the same mistake I do. It's one thing to just share your story with people, but when you have a proper a methodology that had worked for him, he says, I want to bring this here so that other entrepreneurs don't make the same mistake. And he realizes Malaysians are the same too. They don't want to validate their idea early. One is because they're afraid of sharing the idea. Another one is maybe deep down they're afraid that the idea may not be as hot as people think. So let me just build the product based on my idea and I'll show them, look, you know, this is the product from my idea. And he said that's just a dangerous and wrong thing to do. And hence why, you know, LSM is going to happen, and they learned their lesson. Now they pivoted. So what the pivot was that they move from this thing about addressing the global talent problem, coming now to just helping all entrepreneurs, the hustlers, find a hacker, find a CTO. Because this is a universal problem in Europe, in the US, and in Malaysia, everywhere, right? You always, if you're the guy with the idea, you're looking for someone who's very strong technically to help you bring alive what this idea you have in your head. And he uses a group of CTOs. It's a very deliberate strategy because he says these guys have been vetted by him and his team. They all have 10 years of experience or more, Frida, hence CTOs. So he's got about 70 of them now on his panel. And so entrepreneurs actually have to pay. He first experimented with doing it for free and then later paying when you find value. But he said when you offer it for free, you get people who are not serious. And even in Europe, he said people who are wantpreneurs, you know, think they want to be an entrepreneur, come in and you waste the CTO's time then.
Yeah.
So this is what happened. It's £3,000 you got to pay, whether it's a one-month engagement or three-month engagement as agreed by both parties. So the entrepreneur themselves pay. You know, when you pay that amount of money, you become very serious. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's brilliant. And he gets a 15 to 20% cut of that because he's the platform that brings them together. And he says he's gaining traction and he's heartening. It's heartening to see what's happening.
Okay.
And immediately now wants to just, you know, get this philosophy here so that entrepreneurs can go through that.
I think it's also
and get
happening
validated.
May 23rd as well.
Yeah, it's this one.
It's all happening.
Whether the date. Yeah, so the end of May is a happening period. And of course, the next Disrupt is also, you know, that week, 21st.
But we're
Wednesday.
Wasting time talking about more important
correct.
Things like macro
So, yeah. Hey, macro gear is very important, okay?
Yeah, because we're running out of time.
Big
as
down
usual.
Under. Oh, man.
So they're going to Australia 1 year after.
They're already in Australia for 1 year in Sydney. And I just, this was a press release they shared, but I spoke to Kenny also. Now, they're just coming up to a year being in Sydney. And he says this is their strategy of being in Asia and beyond. And he says that this is a big deal for them because Big Mobile is they're a mobile media and solutions company. Now, they're going to ride on Macro Kiosk's network in Asia to target, they basically target mobile ads, you know, to customers out there. But the beauty of it, by now using the payment system of mobile, of Micro Kiosk, is that now you have access to 2 billion customers. So it's a huge win for MacroKiosk, because now you've got a big customer that's using your product Asia-wide. Mm-hmm. And in this company expands beyond Australia, they're going to probably, you know, go with MacroKiosk also. And for this company now, you've got suddenly 2 billion mobile wallets. Now, what do you mean by mobile wallets? According to Kenny, is the fact that when you see an ad on your phone now, and if you decide to pay, you can pay right away without needing a credit card, because your phone is your mobile wallet and the bill goes to your mobile phone statement. Now, of course, the cap is that all of us have a certain cap above the plan that we have, correct? So I'm on like a 88 ringgit plan, or is it 8 ringgit and 80 cents plan, you know? And then you still have like a 200 ringgit cap. Mm-hmm. So you can go up to that cap of yours. So you have that much to spend on your mobile phone every month. So it makes it easy for consumers, you know, to look at something on their phone and add and respond to it if they want to. And that's brilliant. Right. So this is very exciting for them. He said they can take it the next step further.
Why do you put penguins in there?
Because this is a just deviously diabolical idea from Kenny. I think he was serious about it. Because he said Australia, the press release said Australia and beyond. I said, Kenny, beyond Australia is Tasmania and Antarctica. He says,
no,
yes.
Australia, Tasmania is part of Australia.
Oh, is it? I didn't know. I thought it was a separate country. Okay. So obviously I don't travel anywhere near enough. I'm using Frida's laptop and I'm being bombarded by travel ads on the DNA portal.
And ads for Lexus.
Yeah, and Lexus, man. I never get these expensive cars. So anyway, he said they're gonna find a way to charge the penguins for all the communications they do too. And I thought, that's brilliant, man. Go list. I want to buy shares in your company, man. So they are looking to to charge penguins too.
One last story.
You may want to alert the World Wildlife Fund. Yes, one last story.
Okay, Malaysia to appoint a chief data scientist. Do we need one? 1 minute.
I think Budli Sham, of course, the CEO of MDEC, says that we probably do, and this is going to be part of the country's efforts to develop local capabilities in data analytics. And he said some countries around the world do have data scientists, and obviously for many things we are lucky in Malaysia, we don't have to go beyond Singapore, right? So they have a data scientist too. Some gentleman who was formerly like a chief management scientist at Accenture. So he's been there since last year doing whatever a data scientist is supposed to do. So Budli Sham thinks Malaysia needs one. And it's going to be in the next Malaysia plan, where the planning has already started. Probably in the 12th Malaysia plan. No, the 11th Malaysia plan. Right. Starting the cycle for that. Mm-hmm. And MDEC is now organizing its Big Data Week. Very interesting. A lot of things going on. And apparently it's the only city in Southeast Asia to showcase Big Data Week, you know, and MDEC is the organizer for that.
Right,
lots
man.
Of things going
you
on.
You got
a
lot, a lot more stories, but unfortunately we ran out of time.
Yeah, but go and read. This is our reading list. Go to the site and read about Malaysia's internet speeds. Are we speeding along or slowing down?
Okay,
MCMC had a press release.
Yep, okay.
And the last one is Brighter Days Ahead for Maxis Home Service by Go. That's on our landing page today. Very interesting story.
Check that out.
Check those out.
I'm just seeing from Digital News Asia.
I jumped again.
This is Tech Talk VFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.